today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Here's something very encouraging. Tomorrow, as you speak to someone about Jesus Christ, I hope you do, the Holy Spirit will help you. You say, I'm a bit afraid. I understand that. I may not articulate the gospel right. That is true. But God will help you.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. How do you feel about sharing the gospel? Do you think evangelism is best left to full-time pastors or missionaries? Today on The Verdict, we'll learn from the Apostle Paul about having a strategy for telling others about Jesus Christ. You don't have to be an apostle to share your faith. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he begins part two of a message titled, Strategy for Missions.
What's your view of missions? Do you think the responsibility of sharing the gospel is something which should be done only by missionaries and those in full-time ministry, or do you think it is something you should be involved in personally? Today we're looking at Romans chapter 15, where Paul is helping us understand his strategy for missions. Paul, the great apostle, is a brilliant theologian, a caring pastor, but also a zealous evangelist. The gospel is no theoretical matter for Paul. He was totally changed and transformed by the power of God. And the risen Christ commands us to make disciples of all the nations. And today's message will help you to understand this call and equip you to obey.
When we share Christ, when we tell others about Jesus, we're acting, in a sense, as priests. And the fact that Paul is a ministry, is called to minister to the Gentiles, should not have been a shock to the Jews, as the Old Testament is full of this, that this message that God is entrusting to his people in the Old Testament, the Jewish nation, is a message not confined just to them, but they are to be the light, they are to be the center of it as they tell others, including all of the nations, the importance of faith in the living God. And Paul regards the Gentiles, verse 16, as an offering. He refers to the offering of the Gentiles that it may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's commissioned by God to be a minister to the Gentiles. You say, well, that was Paul. He was a special case. He was an apostle. I understand that. But here is the principle. The risen Christ commissions each one of us to go with the gospel. Go and make disciples of all the nations. That's a divine commission, not just given to apostles, not just given to missionaries or to pastors, but a commission given to every follower of Jesus Christ, that God has saved you. Think of this. And God is transforming you, and God's call is on your life and mine to go and tell others about Jesus. And every follower of Jesus Christ is a priest. This is a priestly exercise. We enjoy coming together as we do now to worship God, but then we are sent to be witnesses for Christ. Whether it's in our own home, whether it's that boy at school, whether it's that man in the office, someone who's part of your team, whoever it is, and you are given, and I am given, this divine commission to tell others about Jesus Christ, sent by Christ. So mission requires a divine commission. Secondly, it requires a divine message. Verse 16, he says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of what? Of the gospel of God. Notice that this message is of divine origin. We've seen this repeatedly in Romans. This is why we are faithful in preaching the gospel. What about the message of pop psychology? Five reasons to raise kids with smiling faces. How about that? How about a message of prosperity? That's a popular one. It seems to work. Those who say it have private jets and multi-million dollar homes. A message of positive thinking. A message that is very entertaining. A message that is in keeping with the times. No, says Paul. This message, the gospel, is the gospel of God. He said that right in chapter 1. The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul has, in this wonderful epistle, has given an inspired exposition of the gospel. Justification by faith alone. That we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that this gospel, which justifies me before God so that as a guilty sinner I'm acceptable to God, is also a gospel which is transforming me. Why? As he said magnificently in Romans 6, 7, and 8, we have the Holy Spirit within us. This divine power. This is a message that works because it's a message not coming from man. It's the gospel of God. Do you understand that? That the gospel is a treasure. And when you speak to people, don't just talk about praying to God. Most Americans pray to God, they say. This is the message of the gospel concerning Christ and Christ crucified. John Wesley said when he went to different towns in England, he said, I offered them Christ. That's what you're to do. You're to offer them Christ. You're to tell people to repent of their sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Why is that? Because of the condition of men and women that Paul has presented, that we're lost, that we're sinners, that we all come short of the glory of God. And some message of pragmatism, something which is merely inspirational and superficial and man-made, will never deal with the root problem of sin and will end with a message that neither humbles man nor exalts God. That's not the gospel. Where the gospel is preached, men and women and boys and girls are humbled and Christ is exalted. So we must preach Christ in all of his fullness. We have a divine commission and a divine message. Now, if you don't believe that the message is divine, you're going to communicate something else. You're going to communicate a lifestyle. You're going to communicate a church. You're going to communicate a philosophy. But at the very center of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? A divine commission, a divine message. Third, a divine purpose. Verse 18, I will not venture to speak of anything, what is Paul's boldness, except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. What's the divine purpose? To bring the Gentiles to obedience. Paul wants to glorify God in the salvation, particularly of the Gentiles. And Paul preaches for a verdict. He talks in chapter 1, verse 5, of the obedience of faith. Here it is in verse 18, to bring the Gentiles to obedience. You say, how do we do that? There is this divine purpose of bringing men and women to saving faith in Jesus Christ, to the obedience of faith. Oh, this is not a hall of faith. This is not something just simply saying a little prayer or ticking a box or going through a membership application. This is something radical. This is saving faith which changes us so that now we live a life of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were looking at the scripture in Isaiah 55. Some of you know it well. Listen to it in verse 11. So shall my word be, the Lord is speaking, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Think of that. That as we communicate the gospel, as we sow seed, whether it's from this pulpit, whether it's in your backyard, talking to your neighbor who doesn't know Christ over the garden fence, wherever it is, we are sowing seed. And as you sow seed, sometimes it's very discouraging, isn't it? Because you don't see any result. You're sowing seed, we're sowing seed, and some of you have been praying for and communicating the gospel to a friend, to a family member for years. But listen to what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 55, that God has his purposes. We don't always understand them. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But as we communicate the message, there is a divine purpose that God uses the foolishness of preaching to bring people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, as you sow the seed and as you live for Jesus Christ, don't give up, because with the divine commission, implanting the divine message, there is the divine purpose. Paul says, I'm going to bring Gentiles. All of them, no, there is opposition to Paul. He's thrown out of the city. He's persecuted. Many don't believe. That's true. But many come to saving faith in Christ. As I speak, I want people to make a verdict, to a response. Can I control that? Can I manipulate that? No, I'm sowing seed. But God has his purposes. Here's a little boy. Here's an older man who hears the gospel. And God, in his great love, saves that soul. Here's the fourth one, divine enablement, verse 19. We have a divine commission. We have a divine message. We have a divine purpose. And we have divine enablement. He says, you say, how is he going to bring the Gentiles to obedience? By word and deed. He says, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. There it is. Jesus Christ is working through Paul. All of Paul's ministry is totally dependent on God. Isn't this part of our problem? We tend to exalt ourselves, don't we? We tend to want some credit. God uses us graciously as his instruments. God graciously used Paul in unbelievable ways. But notice that Paul is very, very careful to give God all of the glory. The Holy Spirit fills Paul, supernaturally helps him as he displays and proclaims the Lord Jesus. No, the gospel is not about Paul. He's the human instrument. It's all about Christ. Verse 18, Paul's only boast is what Christ has done through him. It's not what Paul is doing, it's what Christ is doing through him. He says in verse 17, it is all in Christ Jesus. Now, if Paul was an apostle and his apostolic authority was authenticated through these signs and wonders. Look back to Acts chapter 5. Because some of you are saying, well, why don't we have these signs and wonders today? And some people claim that they can do these signs and wonders, and that is true. They certainly claim it. Look back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Now many signs and wonders, same expression, were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for a very key passage on this. Paul's apostleship was attacked. 2 Corinthians 12, 12. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The apostles come to town. They preach the message. The message is authenticated through these signs and wonders. New revelation from God through the apostles is being confirmed by these signs and wonders. Now, are there apostles today? There are some people who claim to be apostles. There's a woman in North Carolina who's a bit of a following who claims to be an apostle. She claims to get direct revelation from God. Some of her followers recently met with me and said one of her pronouncements, which had come from God, is that followers of Jesus shouldn't go to baseball games. Now, I don't go to baseball games because I've never understood the game. But God is telling someone to tell people not to go to a baseball game. And the sad reality is that hundreds of people believe this kind of nonsense and believe that because someone claims to be an apostle, that they are in fact an apostle. Here's a good test of an apostle, according to the scriptures. One is, have they seen the Lord? Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. I'm an apostle, I've seen the Lord. He saw the risen Christ. Have you seen the risen Christ? Secondly, can you raise the dead? I've been at many funerals, and if someone can come along at the funeral service, the person is in the casket, and you can raise that person from the dead, I'm pretty impressed. In fact, we're all impressed. Now, if you claim to have healed someone's migraine, headache, or someone's sore back, or something else like that, I'm not so impressed. And I'm not impressed by someone on television saying, someone out there has got a sore back, and if you send me $1,000, God will cure you. That's not the apostles. We need to be very, very discerning. No, there are no apostles today. There is no need for new revelation. The canon of Scripture is concluded with the 66 books of the New Testament. I was walking along a town one day, and these two young men stopped me, dressed in black suits, about 19 years old, with little name tags, Elder so-and-so and so-and-so, you know who they are, from the Mormon church. And they said, can I ask you a couple of questions? I said, sure. They said, do you read the Bible? I said, yeah, I sometimes read the Bible. And they said, next question, do you ever wonder why God hasn't given us another book other than the Bible? I said, no, I've never wondered that. Because when you have the perfect book, why would you want something else? I mean, this says this is perfect. Now, there's no apostles today, but the Holy Spirit is still alive. Notice what Paul says here in Romans chapter 15. He says, by the power, dunamis, the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we saying today that God no longer performs miracles? No, that is not what I am saying. I am saying that the office of apostle, which was for the foundation of the church, there are no apostles today, but Christ is alive, the Holy Spirit is alive, and God in his sovereign purposes does heal, and sometimes he chooses not to heal. But what I do believe is this, and believe very strongly, that as you and I communicate the gospel, we cannot do that with our own strength, and we must be totally dependent upon the Spirit of God. Paul says when he came to the church at Thessalonica, he said, we didn't just come in our words, but we came in the power of the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Here's something very encouraging. Tomorrow, as you speak to someone about Jesus Christ, I hope you do, the Holy Spirit will help you. You say, I'm a bit afraid. I understand that. I may not articulate the gospel right. That is true. But God will help you. And the Spirit of God will help you. Now, very, very quickly, mission requires a divine strategy. Verse 19, he says here, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Paul has a goal and a strategy. He doesn't want to build on someone else's foundation. He wants to plant new churches. That's his conviction. Now, he's not saying that that is true for all of us. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, some plant and some water, and God gives the increase. But this was his priority. This was his calling from God. What's your strategy? Have you adopted a Christianity that is very, very comfortable? Think of Paul. He took the gospel all the way from northwest Macedonia, round the Mediterranean, and is planning to go to Rome and even to go into Spain and possibly from Spain go right up into what we call France and perhaps even the United Kingdom. No, he didn't do that, but that was his strategy. He's tracing the circular route that he takes for the cause of Jesus Christ. Some of you get moved in employment. Students are about to go off to college. Do you ever think of this? That God is moving you, that God is placing you in a particular college, that God is placing you, sir, in a particular neighborhood, that God has moved you from California to work in a bank here, not just to increase your income, not just for a better quality of life, not just for a better place to raise your kids, but for the cause of Christ, that God is at work. And as we see God at work in our lives, we who love Jesus Christ then say, this has been entrusted to me. This position that has been given to me, this opportunity in that hospital, this opportunity as I go off to a college, God has given it to me. God has blessed me in it. May I use this for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm challenging you to look forward. David Livingstone said, I will go anywhere provided it is forward. Let's not be lazy. Let's not rest on the past achievements. We have so many opportunities to tell others about Jesus. Will you do that? This is what God calls you and me to do. Help us, Father, to do that. We confess we get very, very comfortable. And we thank you for homes, employment, colleges, opportunities that we have, and now fill us with your Spirit. Renew us in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the conclusion of a message titled Strategy for Missions. And John will be back with more to say in just a moment, so keep listening. As we continue our in-depth study of Romans, chapters 12 through 16, you'll want to make sure you get your copy of our special resource. It's the latest volume in John's series of study guides on Romans, outlining each lesson in this section. It's called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, and it offers some helpful background and additional context for each passage, along with discussion topics and prompts to help you apply these lessons to your everyday life. Expand your knowledge of these key chapters in Romans by getting your copy of this helpful resource. It's great for individual study or share it with a small group. Request your free copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, or download the PDF today when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And you can also connect with us on social media. You'll find The Verdict on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by simply searching for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and so been saved? And has this gospel changed you from the inside out? That's the power of the gospel and the nature of the gospel. It transforms us. And part of this transformation is to tell others about Jesus. I trust you're doing that. And join me next time as we look at the last verses of Romans 15, which will help you to plan your future.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.